Hey y'all, thanks for joining us for this edition of the Rose Chat Podcast. I recently took a trip to Gettysburg, Pennsylvania to the American Rose Society Fall Nationals. Along the way, I stopped at Penn Jersey District Director's House, Nancy Reddington. There I found, gathered around the kitchen table, some of the who's who of roses in the United States. Craig Dorschel, District Director from the Yankee District of the ARS. Don and Mary Myers were there from the Carolina District, as well as rosarian and hybridizer Andy Vannable. We just sat around the table and chatted about our American Rose Society journey, how we came to the organization, and why we stay. Afterwards, Nancy and I walked out into her garden, and she shared with me the beauty and wonder that only nature can bring. Stay with us. Voices from the Garden starts now.
It's time for Voices from the Garden, a series that celebrates and explores an intrinsic mix of life lessons, faith stories, and glorious gardening adventures, told by those who experience them in their own words, exclusively on the Rose Chat Podcast.
I can't tell you how much fun I had that morning at Nancy Reddington's house, better known as the Box on the Rocks. I got there kind of early, and everyone was sitting around the kitchen table having a cup of coffee. We joined that conversation now.
That's kind of it.
You made into it?
My mother grew a couple of roses. She always, your Chrysler Imperial, she grew peace. No, she grew peace. She had peace climbing on the fence. And that was it until her children started getting married, and then she started to put a white rose in the ground for every child who got married.
A white rose?
When my brother got divorced, she did not take out the garden party, though. She liked, I think she let it die.
Because we always associate white roses with death.
White roses are bridal. And they had to And they had to be white.
What?
White.
If it were in Asia, that would be death.
Yeah. Death. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think I told her that once, and she said, these are my roses. It's like, we'll do it my way.
Okay.
But then I didn't, after that, Don came into the picture and started commenting on her garden. He'd walk around with her and say, you should put that thing out of its misery. And she'd say, you shut up, Don Myers. And so I married him. And my interest in roses came because he had an interest in roses from childhood.
Well, I was going to say, too, we met Don and Mary when they were a part of Penn Jersey.
Beginning of the 90s.
Right. And they put up with Jimmy beautifully. And so the Jimmy is their nearly nephew.
Yes.
And
we're his almost auntie and uncle.
Yeah. And so down in North Carolina, actually. Yes. Yeah, those are yours. So it almost becomes... Family is not a good word. Relation, because family means you don't have a choice. We choose to be in this commune, the commune of rose growers.
I think you have a choice.
Huh?
I think you can pick your family.
It's our chosen family.
Yeah, exactly.
Sometimes
so whenever we had a convention, you know, like, and when we went down to see Jimmy doing his fencing.
Since he was 5 years old, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Joe and Nancy stayed with us, and Michael stayed with us last year. Jimmy ended up sleeping on the couch because he came up from Charlotte. There was a fencing big meet in Raleigh. So we all went down and watched this fencing, whatever they call it.
Yeah, Jimmy's into fencing, too.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's kind of Star Wars, and Jimmy's also very into Star Wars. So
yeah.
He got to play with a sword.
Yes.
Played with a knife. He's good.
He brought his sword home. He's bringing it home, so he's going to be Colonel Chamberlain. For the rest of the weekend. No, he's going to be a Southern spy tomorrow, his garb.
So Nancy and Jimmy will be in costume.
Yeah, you'll be in costume. And on the Saturday night banquet, he's going to be Colonel Chamberlain, the hero of Little Round Top.
In the prep room with the sword?
Yeah, he's got a sword. A sword.
I said I was tall enough to be Lincoln, but I weigh enough to be two Lincolns, so that would be
work. What got you into the roses?
What got me into the roses? Actually, photography. When I was in graduate school, I was interested in learning how to do the darkroom work for color photography. I was looking for things to photograph, and I stumbled on a peace rose. I didn't know it was a peace rose, but I took a picture of it, and my uncle said, that's a peace rose, isn't it? And I said, if you say so, okay.
Yeah.
and it just sort of simmered for a while, and finally, when I got settled in New England after moving around quite a bit, I said, I don't know whether this climate is going to be suitable for roses or not, but I'll plant one and find out. And I said, well, it has to be two things. It has to be red and it has to be fragrant. So at a Home Depot or a place like that, I found one that was red and fragrant called Mirandi. An old one.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I planted that, and lo and behold, it survived. And then a few more followed. And then at one point, the Boston Globe ran a story about a place on the North Shore of Massachusetts called Northeast Miniature Roses. I said, well, sounds interesting. So I got in my car and drove up there and came back with half a dozen or so, planted them. And I thought, well, you know, this is starting to expand. Maybe I ought to look into the organization. So the ARS would love this because I joined spontaneously without any prompting from anybody. And that was in August of 1998. And then the following spring, I looked up and found the New England Rose Society, joined that without being prompted. So that's how it started.
Well, you were in the minority with that one.
Yeah, probably.
Donna Mary, did you start growing roses in Delaware first, or had you grown them before?
Grown them before.
Where did you start with them?
In New Jersey. I did.
He was 15.
The neighbor, okay, well, it's a longer story, but I'll shorten it. The neighbor moved to New Jersey at the same time we did because her husband and my father worked at the same company, so we knew them. So in the first year, I was getting very bored, and there was nothing. In those days, everything was taken out. There were no trees, no plants, nothing. It was just literally dirt around
the house. The Garden State was nothing.
There was nothing.
that's what they now call Raven Street.
Anyway, so the first fall, she was planting bulbs, and I said, well, I think I'll go over and see what she's doing. So I did. I was watching her plant these bulbs, and there were tulips and daffodils. She said, here, take this bag. So she gave me a bag of bulbs. She said, go plant them. So I did. Well, being the budding scientist, I thought, well, I'll put two in one hole, and that must mean they will cross together. This was, of course, a false illusion. But anyway, a number of them did come up, and then in the next spring, I thought I was a genius. But that next spring, she was planting roses. So, of course, I had to go over and look at her rose garden. So I did that. And she wasn't about to give me a rose plant, but that got me started, and so that garden had 40 roses in it, ultimately. I was always fighting with my mother because I wanted to take more grass, and she and my father wanted to preserve grass.
They just thought he wanted to get rid of the lawn so he wouldn't have to mow so much.
So the theme is now anywhere where grass grows, I can plant roses pretty much.
Yeah. And the dogs have no place to go.
No potty place for the dogs, okay.
So I've grown them all over the place. When I did my PhD at Cornell, and then I went to Montana, and then to California, to Davis, and we're growing more roses in Davis and Sacramento.
And that's where we met.
And then from Sacramento to Florida, awful place to grow roses was Florida.
Especially South Florida.
Whereabouts in Florida were you?
Well, we started in Royal Palm Beach, and then we moved to Vero Beach.
Spent 6 years there.
And I always remember in the Royal Palm home, we had about, I don't know, 20 roses, something.
Oh, we had more than that. We had closer to 50 or 60.
I don't know. But in the winter, we'd have to pull the leaves off the roses in order for them to become dormant.
Dormancy lasted
about 2 weeks, and then they were starting.
By the time you got the last leaves pulled off, the first bush was already sprouting again.
Yeah. So then from Florida to Delaware.
And we spent the 80s in Florida and the 90s in
Delaware.
That's
where the garden really grew, in Delaware. Mm-hmm. We had about 700, I think, in that.
When did you get involved with the American Rose Society? Was it when you were in Delaware or before?
97?
No, in Florida.
There was a Rose Society.
There was a woman named Linda Genuvis. She was a very good exhibitor.
And arranger.
And she got us interested in exhibiting. So I'll never forget, the first Rose Show we go to is the West Palm Beach Rose Show.
October of 86.
And there we're putting our entry in. And wouldn't you know, it won the Blue Ribbon and a trophy.
Wow. So we were not novices from the very beginning.
Yes, but it was a polyantha
Mother's Day.
But of course, it was the only polyantha. But nonetheless, it got this.
Didn't have to win the trophy.
So that's how we get started. Yeah.
It was a nice little spray.
Then from Florida to Delaware became much more serious. So we met people in Philadelphia, Delchester.
Well, Delaware, our affiliation with this area here really, this became our family that we chose. It was because our families, Don's family was in New Jersey, but didn't see them all very often. My family was out in California, and we just chose this Rose family.
Yeah.
Or maybe the family chose it. I'm not sure how that worked out. But Bruce and Liz Monroe, actually, Don called, before we moved up to Delaware, Don called, he was given a phone number of somebody who could tell him about roses, and it turned out to be Bruce Monroe.
Well, didn't you work together with Bruce?
No.
No.
Bruce worked for DuPont, Don worked
I worked for a competitor.
But
oh,
Bruce,
okay.
They invited us to a rose meeting with the Delaware Rose Society, and that got us started in Penn Jersey. And
it was a good thing.
Yeah.
Delaware was
nine
a nice place to visit, and we were there 9 years. We spent a lot of time on roses, all sorts of
that's
things.
That's a place we miss a lot. That's the people.
And then we left there to go to New York. No, not New York City, but to
upstate
New York,
lower upstate.
Goshen. And that was a challenge because of the winter. Winter kill was quite common, at least I thought it was. And we were there 5 years and had a nice rose garden. And then the job took us to North Carolina. And I decided that instead of just leaving all the roses there to die, I would bring some. So I bought this trailer, just a trailer, and
still
filled the trailer with rose bushes. And so I transported like 300 rose bushes
from
New York to North Carolina. That was a mistake because we still have that stupid trailer in the garage.
Anybody need a trailer? Richard's thinking about it.
So that's how. So we've been in North Carolina for 12 years.
Time to come back.
That's what I think.
Time to move back.
Now that he's retired.
Yes, well, retirement. You think you have more time for the Rose Garden? It really hasn't worked that way.
Well, now he's
move
a
closely.
Director.
That way you get the benefit of Michael.
Now he's
you
the district director
helpers,
and
which
CR.
Is good for you,
National
this garden's a lot to
he's good.
Have you been out in her garden looking around?
Not yet.
Oh, you'll like it. It's a good.
It's exasperation.
Yeah.
Some of the roses could be put out of their misery, but for the most part, the garden itself is quite interesting.
May the family who became the mom?
Yes.
I like it because they're little vignettes, little things like the statue here, some kind of a something. Okay. I love that thing with was it Gabriel?
Gabriel.
That's great.
We'll explain.
Okay.
So you look at these things, and I think
it's
that's
a sense of humor.
The garden.
Yes, and she's got balls.
My garden is not serious.
She's got balls all over the garden.
Yeah, this is not longwood here. You know, we nothing's in a straight line. And everything you go like, oh my gosh, look what she did here. You know, and you laugh. And that's so, you know, that's what it's got to do for me.
But we really look forward to this convention, coming here to meet our people that we knew from Penn Jersey very well and continue to know up to this day. But this may be the only time of the year we'll see them. And I think that's one of the best things about coming to a Rose Convention.
But it's like you just pick up where you left off.
Right.
Yeah, right. You know, my first visit to Penn Jersey was occasioned by Frank Benardella twisting my arm to come. It was the last time it was in North Jersey. He says, oh, you'll have a relatively short drive from Massachusetts. You might come on down. So I did. Got to see Frank's house and his operation in New Jersey and started to make friends here. So I've been a frequent visitor to this district and also to New York. The three of us together, Nancy coined the name the Northeast Extension for the three districts because we do work together a lot.
Yeah.
For those who don't know, the Northeast Extension is a chunk of the Pennsylvania Turnpike from Philadelphia to Scranton.
Yeah,
and if you keep going north on Interstate 81, you end up in New York, and if you make a right on 84, you end up in New England. So,
and it's interesting because when I went on the board, Craig also went on the board, and so we had conventions to go to, and so we have to go south. Craig will drive here, and in one instance, then we rented a van. And Joan Singer from the convention.
That was
three
Winston,
of us.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, Winston-Salem. Yeah. So we travel as this eclectic group.
Eclectic is a good word.
Yeah, we did it to Columbus, too. With the biggest SUV you can possibly rent. So
the Queen Mary.
The Queen Mary, I call it.
And we all figured that, great, Craig can drive.
And when you see all the stuff piled up out in the driveway, you wonder how it could all fit even in the Queen Mary, but somehow it got in there with inches to spare.
I'm very good at packing things.
Who are we going to leave home?
Yeah. So when we have trips, then Craig will come here, and then we'll split the driving, and we go back and forth. So like when we go down to Top Gun, Craig will come here, spend the night, then we'll go on down. So it's a good halfway point when we need to go. Or we go to conventions, we'll meet up some, we'll try to figure out if our flights are going to get in, rent a car, share it, then go where we need to go. So it works. He puts up with me very well because I will forget things and lose things. And it's kind of like having an older brother saying, "Do you have this?" No, I forgot it. So that works out well. So we have Massachusetts, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island.
Yeah.
Andy's from Rhode Island. And so this is what the Rose Society does. You go and you meet people locally, and then more people come in, and everybody's so good humored because they're flowers. You know, it's just fun. And you look at things and go, "This is pretty, this is not, I like this, I don't. You like that, I don't." You know, so it's just a whole bunch of stuff like that.
It takes some encouragement to, you know, I was president of my local Rose Society once. Trying to encourage people to first go to district events and then think about going to national events, I tell them that every time you do that, your world expands.
Yeah.
You know, if you sit there just in your local society, it's a small group of people. Yeah, you do discussion, but you go to the district, it's another whole group. You make more friends. You go to a national, you make even more friends from all over the place. And then every time you go back, it's like going to a reunion. It's not like going to some strange place.
Andy, we didn't talk about it last night. How did you get started growing roses?
I got started because of my wife. You know, her favorite flower was the rose. So on one side of the house, I would put three or four roses. On the other side of the house, I would put three or four roses. And they promptly died. So I put three or four roses.
Challenge.
Yeah.
And they promptly died. So I did an internet search. And I found the American Rose Society, and they had a link to a place that's now grown called the Uncommon Rose.
Yes.
And the Uncommon Rose basically stated the reason why the roses aren't growing and continuing is because you're selecting the wrong roses. So I looked over their website and read it and all that, and okay. I ordered some old garden roses and some four abundance that I thought were old garden roses, and I was going to grow old garden roses and be on my way. One of the roses I picked was a rose called Charles de Mille. Mm. Now it takes a couple of years for Charles de Mille to bloom because it's a small seedling or runner, and then it has to get the size and then it starts to bloom. Blooms on old wood. So as things were going, I did another internet search and found the Rhode Island Rose Society, and the next day they were having a rose show. It's like, okay, I'll go to the rose show. So I showed up at the rose show, and the choices were, if you're a member, the entrance is free. If you're not a member, the entrance is $10, whatever it was, $5. So I paid my entrance fee, walked around. Halfway through, one of the members noticed me and came over, and she noticed that I was looking at Charles de Mille. And she said to me, You like that rose, or whatever she said? And I said, yeah. I said, it's the first time I've ever seen it in bloom. I said, I grow it. And she did one of those double takes. It's like, you grow Charles de Mille? Yeah. Okay. So I toured the rest of the show. It was in an old horse barn. Dusty, dirty, whatever. But that's where they had it. On my way out, I took back my entrance fee, and I gave them money and became a member. And my deal was, I was going to learn how to grow roses. That was it. I was going to make my wife happy. And that was it. My membership was gone. But a strange little thing happened. And that strange little thing is exactly what Craig was talking about. You know, you meet the people, you get to know the people, and you interact with them. And the rose people are the nicest people out there.
Absolutely.
So the rose caught me, but the people kept me.
There's I don't know who the quote is from. It's just earth laughs in flowers, and I think for us, earth laughs in roses.
Yeah.
When we come back, we'll wrap up this edition of Voices from the Garden with a walk through Nancy Reddington's beautiful garden. Stay with us. Hey y'all, it's Chris Van Cleve. I'm the creator of the Rose Chat podcast. Now for me, growing roses has become a passion. My membership in the American Rose Society has helped me to create the rose garden of my dreams, right in my own backyard. I also enjoy the camaraderie and support of a network of rose growers who are eager to share, learn, and grow together. You can learn more about membership in the American Rose Society by visiting their website, rose.org. Big mini flora.
Yeah, that's one of Fred's.
Wow.
So I just left everything, but this is Finnegan, and we got, look at this, we've got some nice leaves in here. You couldn't tell though, could you? This is these Japanese lanterns, the port. And Violet's Pride,
that's
of course.
Violet's Pride, right. Yeah, that's a pretty right. Bloom on that. Yeah,
that is, good. And I'm not even sure what else I put in here, but I put in stuff this year. But most of the, this is, there's a Marilyn Whalen there. Mm-hmm. Captain Kirk Hosta.
Captain Kirk, shout out to
that iris is the Starship Enterprise. This is Jimmy's garden.
Yeah.
And Jimmy's cross. That's the compost area. We do static composting. Every year it gets dug out down to 2 feet below grade. Mm-hmm. It's just black gold. We don't do anything to it except throw the stuff on it and let it just
let it do its
down.
Thing and then yeah. Pull it out and start all over again.
Exactly. By spring, it'll all be composted. And so this is the pot place. And it's looking pretty. And we're going to dump this because mosquitoes. It should have been left like that. And this isn't supposed to be left like that. Yeah, I don't know. Because of mosquitoes.
Looks like my potting area.
And my little greenhouse. This year, I'm hoping I get more stuff done. Mm-hmm. And
so how do you use the greenhouse?
I'm going to use it for starting things and just for bringing in things, doing cuttings. That's pretty much what I'm going to do. This is a little fountain. I just put this in this year, and I have electrical, and I just have to hook up the pump to it. But then you'll see the...
It's pretty.
We do... dahlias. I'm also a dahlia judge. And so here's more... Good old Sweet Diana. There's an old... Yellow.
Yeah, you don't see that anymore.
Mm-mm. And
St. Patrick, how does St. Patrick do for you?
Poorly.
Poorly?
Yeah.
I get just a couple blooms a year, but when I get a bloom, it's like, wow. Right. So I keep it around.
This is Gabriel. Mm.
Oh, my goodness.
Jimmy has a student in his class is always falling asleep. We named this Gabriel. But this is my bed in a bed. And it's sheep, in case he wants to count sheep. No, in the development it says you cannot have any livestock.
You've got a little bit, don't you?
So I put it in my sheet. A rebel am I?
I love that.
So that's we call him Gabe. So he's got a blankie of plants, and the way you do it is you mound the soil and put wire over it, and then plant your stuff in it, and the bed frame, of course. Oh,
that is so unique. I love that.
This is some of the stuff you see for fun. See my spheres?
Mm-hmm.
I was calling them balls. Jimmy said, I can't call them balls.
Yeah.
I said, oh, Jimmy. She said, Mom, I'm telling you.
Mama, yeah.
But so there's three places you're going to find these things. They're just there all of a sudden. Weird and wild. And, of course, another, that's Lulu. That's a water lily style dahlia. But then all my iridescent spheres. And the apple trees, of course, have got red delicious and yellow delicious. But I didn't spray, so they're not the... You can cut around them, but I really don't want to. I grow them mainly for the apple blossoms in the spring, to be honest with you. So that's that. And then benches. And this is a fire pit. We have fires. I have scouts in the family. We're pyromaniacs.
Oh, yeah. Y'all gonna...
We burn everything.
Fire.
Exactly.
Got a hammock for naps.
And here's a hammock over on this side. You have to have a couple of hammocks. You don't know which side the sun's going to be on.
Mm.
And you can see the
autumn blooming clematis. Now next year I'll get out here early enough to train to cross the pond.
Oh my goodness, I love this.
But it will just, it, you know, it'll grow everywhere. And it's got a vanilla scent.
It's sort of a, yeah.
And the magnolias. We do a lot of, we have a lot of magnolia trees on the lot. And a lot of these blue atlas cedars.
Mm-hmm. So this is a dwarf variety magnolia.
Actually, it's Jane. It's not that
big. It'll get some size on it.
And over here, the old garden roses are in towards the back. And a lot of these roses are new. You knew my husband died last year.
I do.
And it was everything just
stopped.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. And it was, things died because nothing got watered, nothing got anything. So we're rebuilding.
Well, you go through a transition.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
So, you know, some people say, oh, you have trees. You can't do anything. And I said, yes, you do. You put in a hosta bed. That's a Genie LeJoie.
I love that.
So this will be all hosta bed in back in there past that row of rows because it gets much more shade. But there's solar flare, that mini flora, just sticking up.
Sticking up in the back, yeah. I love this curly-edged hosta back here.
Oh, well, they're all different varieties. We have a place called Hosta Hideaway, just north of where the convention is. And they grow thousands of these. Here is Pat Chandler. This is Athena.
Oh, wow.
This is going to be auctioned off at the convention, but this is Pat Chandler.
That's pretty.
And it's growing right in front of Rosemary's.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's kind of, that works, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah.
I like this huge diamond tons.
Mm-hmm.
I like it because it's great in a bathroom. It's great on a nightstand.
Oh, yeah.
Big roses are hard to put in your house.
Yeah, that's true.
This you can put anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Is this Giggles?
Yes.
We have this shrub. I love it.
Yep.
Look at this bloom.
Yep.
That's...
It's interesting about the hips. Now, if I was really funny, we would have put a hip class in just for fun, or stem and foliage.
Yeah.
I like to. You can tell I like to get people a little off. And here's the pond, which will be running on a Sunday, and it's got a waterfall and more orbs.
More orbs.
They're floating in there, and then there's another bunch of the spheres over there.
Mm-hmm.
More roses, roses, roses. No, they get tucked in because they're not always blooming.
Right.
So you have
yeah.
petunias to...
So your eye is continually moving down the line. You've always got some color.
This Japanese maple was given to Jimmy on his christening day 30-some years ago by the folks from the nursery where we worked. And when we moved here, he bald and burlapped. He worked, so that was back... 16 years ago or 14 years ago, he worked with a guy and they did the balling and burling. It was about 1,000-pound ball. We just put it in holding, and a year later brought it over and replanted it here. But that's Jimmy's tree.
Wow.
Yeah. But he spent days digging that thing out to ball and burlap it. So I've done this way. Now this is more of the paniculata.
Yeah.
And every year it gets stripped down to nothing here, and every year by this time it's totally covered.
So this is all one season's growth.
Yes.
Wow, let me get a picture of this.
This is what you can see. Look up here. I'll take it. There's these. It's just like lousy. Another Fitzhugh's diamond just because. More dahlias. This one's called Bashful. I love
that. You have so many bees here. The pollinators are everywhere.
Right. And these are solar roses, believe it or not. And everybody goes, what? And then I do the Chachki. There's the glass garden.
Mm-hmm. That's cute.
More dahlias.
Now, did you make these?
Yeah, I designed them. My friend glues them, and I go in, I figure out where I want them, and then she glues them for me. I have a couple of glass gardens.
These dinner plate dahlias are just amazing.
Yes. They're not my favorite, because what do you do with them besides the garden? You know, people would do couples.
Right.
You can't bring them in.
Yeah.
Jimmy's Don Juan. He wanted that rose. And then this area, because it's St. Francis Garden up here. was finishing down. Jimmy's garden, of course, had, he's a chemist, had Electron. Had all this.
That's what I love about all these different rose varieties and names. There's something that appeals to everybody.
Right. So we put in, trying to get stuff for color, just in case it was going to be a disaster, which it could have been.
Yeah. These mums, I love these. They're actually open. Ours at home are still in bud.
Oh.
And you
oh,
can't even get an open one.
And then this is another just little, Andy's sitting on, and I benches usually throughout the garden. And this is St. Francis, of course, St. Francis Garden, my kneeling pad. And right in front of St. Francis Garden is Gervais Rose.
Yeah.
There's Father Gervais' Rose, because he is a Franciscan.
Our Facebook.
It's not opening well, but that's Father Gervais' Rose, which will be auctioned off. And since he's a Franciscan, it's right in front of St. Francis.
This is in a good spot.
Yeah.
Love that.
And some good old, you know,
now St. Francis is the patron saint of
gardening.
Of gardening. No,
he's patron saint of animals.
Patron saint of animals.
Patron saint of gardening is a guy by the name of St. Fiacre who hated women.
Really?
Yes. And I always laugh about that.
Yeah.
And so
it's ironic how that.
But then, you know, my husband really loved conifers, and so did I. So this is a weeping spruce. And the boulevards and the Scotch pine, or not the Scotch, the stone pines and the Hinoki cypress. And this is a bird's nest spruce. So there's a lot of evergreens that are incorporated into the landscape.
The cat.
And more sheep.
Hey, kitty cat.
And the cats actually are indoor, outdoor, and are working animals. They keep the voles and the moles and the chippies down because they will get into the rocks and destroy a landscape. So these guys are supposed to work.
Yeah.
So this is the box on the rocks.
You know, I realized as I drove away from Nancy's house that I never would have met any of them had it not been for the world's most beloved flower. I'm grateful for the rose and for the American Rose Society, for the friendship, the beauty, and the camaraderie it all brings.
Thanks for listening to today's broadcast of Voices from the Garden, an exclusive story series celebrating the human experience in the garden exclusively on the Rose Chat podcast. If you have a story to tell, email us at grow@rosechat.info. Voices from the Garden is a production of the Rose Chat Media Group, Birmingham, Alabama.